Hi, my name is John McGee. I'm the director of marriage ministry here at Watermark Community Church, and this is my wife, Pam. We've been married 15 years, 16 years coming up in about 2 months, and we were high school sweethearts, and so we've been at this thing for quite a while, man. She's been putting up with me for a long time, and has got the true dirt, the true story on me and us. But tonight, what we wanted to do just for a few minutes is share with you some observations. I've been on staff here for almost 10 years. And just there's some kind of patterns that we've just recognized over and over again with couples. So couples that get well, there tends to be some things that generally tend to happen. So you can think of it almost like there's a lot of business books, Good to Great, and things like that, where they will take two companies and they'll kind of track them, you know, for over a several year period, and they'll figure out what were characteristics of these companies that kind of took off, and what were characteristics of the couples that kind of flatlined, and so they'll kind of, you know, write up books and follow up books and seminars and things like that, make a lot of money. So we won't charge you anything for tonight, but we'll give you some of our observations on couples that do really well. What are some of their characteristics? And as we look back and kind of reverse engineer couples that have really begun to pursue oneness, some of them that have been at okay spots, some of them have been at really, really bad spots. What are some of those characteristics? Okay, and that's what I want to share with you real quick. Just three things. We'll be in and out of here pretty quickly. But what I want you to do is think about kind of yourself. David, so I just keep talking. Is there a hum? There is, and we'll go. Okay. I want you to think about yourself. And obviously, always when we hear these kind of talks, the tendency is to take notes for your spouse, right? I took good notes for you. This is what you should have gotten out of that talk. We can talk about it tonight on the way home, right? That's always our tendency. And so what I want you to do tonight is just to listen for you. Okay, and we'll give you these three, and I just ask you to go, which one of these things do I need to take ground in for us? Okay, which one of these characteristics do I need in my own life? Okay, any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, just today, as John and I were talking about this, we were reminded both of like my best childhood friend from like third grade on, and they're in a great spot today, but about 7 or 8 years ago, they were at the point where I remember being in my hometown with her and us going for a walk and sitting at the playground and her just weeping because the next day her husband was leaving for Japan for his tour of duty there. He was in the Navy, and he had told her, I have two little kids, he said, I really would rather you didn't come with me. I'm done. And her just weeping before the Lord, I don't want to be done with this, was in the worst place possible. And now their marriage is great, and they are just sharing. Yeah. I mean, they're just sharing their story like y'all see week after week. They're getting the chance to do that. And we were talking about a lot of these three things that we're going to share with y'all really played out, and so we'll kind of talk about them a little bit. But that was fun to just know someone in person who has been at a zero. If they had been at Reengage, they're a zero, and now they're really up there like an 8 or 9 and just sharing their story with other people.
Yeah, that's good. So the first thing, kind of the first characteristic that we see over and over again, the couples who really get well, is they have a renewed passion for Christ. Okay, you're kind of like, what? We're at a church, man. They're like, give me. Of course, that's the case, and I'm telling you, that's the case, right? Couples that get well, when they go back, you think about everybody that's kind of paraded in front of you the last however long you've been here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 months. All of them will point to a place and time where they said, you know what? Christ and His Word is the most important thing to me. Or I've got a renewed passion for that. Some of them it was new. Some of them it was I came to Christ for the first time. I placed my trust in Him, and all of this kind of spiritual life began to happen for the first time. For some it would be, hey, I grew up in the church and I'd been around all these kind of this Christian stuff before, but man, I finally understood grace and really began to kind of respond to it. That will always show up in a couple story, okay? And at least one person. And so there's lots of places that shows up in Scripture. Kind of, you know, there'll be different verses that people will point to. In John 15, there's this idea of abiding. And Christ talks about the way that we are like fruit that is to abide on the vine. And when we do that, kind of the life of Christ comes through us. And all the fruits that are of the Spirit kind of come out, right? There's verses like 1 Corinthians 10:31, and I've heard couples quote up here before, and it basically just says, man, anything we do, whether we eat or drink, to do it all for the glory of God. And so you'll have these couples come up and they'll say, man, more than anything else, I wanted to glorify God. I didn't know how my spouse was going to respond, how they were going to react, or what they were going to do going forward in our marriage, but I wanted to glorify God more than anything else. Man, that is what I wanted to do. And that will actually become the most important thing to them, right? They care deeply about their marriage, their kids, their job, their friends, all those kind of things. But more than anything else, they really do turn their sights on Christ, and they say, I want what Christ wants for me more than anything else. Okay, and so I'd ask you, man, is that characteristic of you? Okay, not the most technical, pithy kind of answer you could have tonight, but I'm telling you, it's incredibly important and always a characteristic of couples that did do well. Okay, so the first one is that people and these couples would have a renewed passion for Christ.
Yeah, and the second one is that they see themselves as the problem, or at least part of the problem, and begin working on themselves. And so many of us go, couples that are struggling is the problem in my marriage is the person I wake up to every morning. And they fail to see their part in the situation. So couples that are getting healthy and are getting well and getting to a place where they have a marriage that glorifies God are really living out Matthew 7, where it talks about owning your own part first. And CR, the lingo, is kind of cleaning up your side of the street. And just doing what you have control over. So we tell our kids, you have control over the way you act. You have control over your heart coming under control of the Holy Spirit and God controlling your life. You can't change your brother and sister. You can't change your spouse. You have control over yours. And so in Matthew 7, it talks about getting the log out of your eye before you worry about the speck in your neighbor's eye. And so your situation, it may be more of a speck, and the log is in his or her eye. But again, you only have control over your own. And so couples that are working on their own stuff first is where healing happens. And definitely not to be at the point where you're a doormat or you're in a situation where it's dangerous, but just to really start focusing on how God can change you and your part in the relationship. And 1 Peter 5:5 just talks about clothing yourselves in humility. And what a way to be like Christ, just to go, okay, he or she has a lot of stuff. They really are messed up. Everybody would agree. But I'm going to be humble enough to go that I've got a part in this. I can work on my stuff. I can let the Holy Spirit change me. And my friend that I was talking about, she got to that place. I mean, he was a jerk. He really was. I mean, he was done with the marriage, was ready to leave her and her two kids, had an emotional affair. He was just done. And she chose to go with him to Japan, and they were there, kind of had tons of fear of flying, fear of typhoons and hurricanes. I mean, she just faced it all, and she just said, Lord, I'm going to go with you and glorify you in this. And she just started looking at her own stuff and just came to a real desperate place of depending on God. Back to that first one, she truly knew what it meant to abide in Christ. But she realized, I can only change the fact that I do withdraw, the fact that I do get angry, the fact that I do get bitter at him. And so she worked on her own stuff. And really that gives a person, an individual, a sense of hope. Like I go, okay, I can, I'm not responsible for him. The Holy Spirit, God can change him. All I can do is just work on my part. And so just, I can change. The Holy Spirit can change me. And so just that's what we see couples getting better, just focusing on their own part, their side of the street.
Yeah, it's good. I was thinking as you shared, there's a, counselors will call this kind of the fundamental error of attribution. Okay, so the way this works in a marriage,
or I was thinking. I was going to say that. I just forgot.
So let's say I'm frustrated with Pam because she's late, okay? And all of a sudden, I show up late at something, okay? So we're going to meet somewhere. We're going to go to dinner. She's going to bring the kids, or we're going to go somewhere. We're going to show up at 6 o'clock, right? And I show up at 6:10. I show up at 6:10, and I immediately, what happens is, I will immediately give myself a pass, right? And it's like, well, I was busy. I'm not habitually late. It's not a character issue for me. I was just caught up. And so it's okay. It's okay for me to be late. But you watch, I show up at 6 o'clock and Pam shows up at 6:10. I will immediately go, man, dude, she cannot get her stuff together. Right? She's always late. She's, and I just kind of build this up, right? Knowing nothing about that. Knowing nothing about her day, how she got here, that's immediately where my mind will race. Can we all have that? It's called the error of attribution. We assign motive and character to the actions and attitudes of everyone else, and we give ourselves a free pass, okay? Think about it in your own marriage. You do it, and you do it more often than you think, okay? So again, take notes for you, though. Don't take notes for your spouse, okay? The point being is that we really do, give our spouse a higher level of scrutiny than we do ourselves. Okay, and the first place we are to start is with ourselves. And I'm telling you that the couples that do well, they work on themselves and they see themselves. They will articulate this back. I am my marriage's biggest problem. It's me. Now, does this person have issues? Does this couple that we're talking about, did that guy have issues? Man, I mean, yes, like crazy. But our friend really goes, you know what? It's me. And it was interesting. Last week we did our celebration night, and couples were sharing their testimonies. Last week, some crazy, crazy cool stories. This one guy who was addicted to video games and like literally never came out except to eat, and was completely disengaged from his family. They'd go on vacations together. He would sit in the front seat, in the passenger seat, and just stare straight ahead, right? He wouldn't engage, he wouldn't talk, and she drove, handled, it was the most bizarre thing. And they're killing it now. They're killing it. They're going to be leaders. So there's all these really great stories, but there was this one. I remember this gal said, you know, we came, and I really came for him, right? I kind of brought him here. And she goes, you know, true story. And she goes, I've come to see, man, that it's me. We were here for me. And I didn't think so 6 months ago. I was positive we need to fix this guy. And if we could do that, then I would be happy. Then our marriage would be fantastic. And she said, it is me. And over again, guys, I hear that story replayed. Couples who get well, they'll reflect back. I stood up and I said, hey, it's me. Okay, so renewed passion for Christ, they begin to work on themselves. And then thirdly, they're ruthlessly committed to their marriage. Okay, there's a commitment, there's a renewed commitment to their marriage. Okay, and so they'll point to different verses that will have been helpful. But verses like Matthew 19:6, where Scripture teaches us that it is God who joins us together. Right? And that's why we're not to separate. Let no man separate. It's God who joins us together. So oftentimes we think, well, I chose her and she chose me, and we just kind of stood in front of some people and we kissed, and that was kind of the deal. We made it legal with the state, right? That's how most of us think about marriage. And yet it's God who's joined us together in a way we don't really understand and can get our arms around. But it is a deeply spiritual thing that we've undertaken, right? And couples will go, man, I get that. I am committed to that. And it'll show up in a lot of different behaviors and attitudes. One of the things we've talked about here is how couples will really stop thinking about other options they have. And it's like they stand in the room and they will shut all the doors to affairs or just staying late at the office or doing other things to escape or just shutting out of the marriage. They say, all those options I'm taking off the table. We're going to stay in this room and we're going to work it out. Or we kill each other. There's two options. Right? But nobody's leaving. We're committed to this thing, right? We're committed to this thing. And couples will get better. And the stats, there's all kinds of studies and research that will show if you can just get a couple to commit to each other, it's like they will figure out all the rest. And I don't want to minimize like learning how to communicate better. And that's hugely important. Dealing with expectations, finances, sex, in-laws, kids, all that really is important. But I'm telling you, if you'll get these three right, and especially this commitment thing, you will find the answers to all the rest of these things that are kind of going on in our marriage, okay?
As I think about our friend, that's something I remember her saying, like, it's not an option not to go with him to Japan. He is my husband. It's not an option. I'm committed to this. And I remember her saying, we committed before the Lord. Like, there's not another option out there. So just that idea, that visual of closing all the other doors. And we have someone really close to us recently that John was just encouraging him. Like, they were talking about, we're going to give it 6 more months and then maybe. And John just encouraged him, don't even talk about that. Don't even close those doors or have any other options.
Don't open those doors.
Don't open those doors. Keep the doors closed.
You know, for us, for Pam and I, we were talking even about kind of 4 weeks ago. Man, we are not at a great place, not a really bad place. But have you ever been there, like where nobody's yelling, nobody's screaming, nobody's saying mean things, but you kind of go, hey, we're working a lot harder than we should have to right now, right? Everybody's like smiling, and you can tell you're just kind of gutting it up from deep within. Otherwise, you're gonna be mean or selfish or say something crazy, right? You guys ever been there? And so it had been like a week of that, you know, or it'd probably been longer than that. And I just remember going, man, what is the deal? And neither one of us, I remember neither one of us really being able to kind of put our finger on it. And we said, it's okay. You know, we're committed to each other. We will fix this. This isn't going to be our new normal, and whatever the answer is, we'll figure it out over time, right? But I didn't go, man, I'm going to take up a new hobby or, you know, think about high school girlfriends, any of that kind of crazy stuff, okay? I said, hey, we're committed to each other. Same thing, you know, it's funny, that's what happened at Christmas. We got teed up like about 10 days of vacation, right? I'd stockpiled all this. We're going to have, you know, Clark W. Griswold Christmas. It's going to be amazing, awesome. And the first day, dude, I mean, we are at it, you know, and nobody's cussing, but we're looking at each other going, man, you drive me crazy. And I don't know what to do with you right now. This is day one, right? Of 10, you know, this will be a lot of fun. You know, and when I remember just saying, I don't even know the answers. I understand what you think. I understand the way you feel. I really do. That makes sense to me. I don't know the answer, but I'm committed to you, and I love you, and I don't want anyone else to drive me crazy but you. You know, and she would articulate the same thing back to me, and we ended up having a great holiday, right? Just saying, I'm committed to you. We will work this out. Okay, we will work this out, and there's sometimes you will feel like it. Right? Sometimes you will absolutely feel like working on your marriage. It'll be a joy to you. Pam and I, we had lunch today. We were talking through some of this stuff, and I said, you know, I mean, sometimes it's just fun. Like, it's fun to be married, you know, and sometimes I know I wake up in the middle of the night, and I look at you, you know, it's 3 o'clock, and I'm like, man, this is awesome. I'm married to her. And I said, it's not always that way, and probably more oftentimes, you know, than not. I just don't have feelings. I just, you know, you're there. And I said, do you, it gets much better. Watch this. So, I asked Pam, I said, hey, do you ever feel that way? And she goes, you know what, to be honest, if I rolled over and it was 3, the thing I'm most excited about is I've got 2 more hours, sleep. she kind of dodged the question. So there's some times we feel good, and we really want to work on the marriage. We do. It's a joy. And oftentimes, loving actions bring about loving feelings, okay? And so even if we don't want to do it, even if we don't feel like it, we do the things we're supposed to do. And a lot of times the feelings will catch up. A lot of times loving feelings will catch up to loving actions, okay? But we don't commit to our marriage when we feel like it. Otherwise, it wouldn't last very long, okay? It wouldn't last past the honeymoon for most of us, if that. Okay, and so we are to ruthlessly commit to each other.
I just think about that in Ephesians, that husbands are commanded to love their wives, and we often hear, you know, love is a choice. You don't feel like it most of the time. You probably don't, or much of the time, you don't feel that you choose to love. And then wives are commanded to respect our husbands. Oftentimes, we don't feel like respecting them. Maybe they're not respectable, but just that choice. And so oftentimes, you know, that's the same thing. We don't feel like loving, feel like respecting, but it's the choice.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so just think about that in your own marriage, okay, for you, of those three things, where is it that you would take ground in? Number one, do you need to kind of have a renewed passion for Christ? The video game player, like the freaky deal that was going on there, he told me, he said, in my entire life, I might have memorized one passage of Scripture. And he said, in the last 6 months, I've memorized 25 verses. And man, he was like, I just can't get enough. And I haven't played a video game in whatever it was, three or four months, right? He had a renewed passion for Christ. So is that one of the things that you need to take ground in, okay? Secondly, are you looking at yourself first? Do you see yourself as the biggest problem? Okay, if not, there needs to be a fundamental shift in the way you're approaching re-engaging, the way you're approaching your marriage, okay? And then thirdly, are you committed, right? Are you thinking about what it could be, what life could be outside, right? On your Facebook friends page, is there somebody there that you would love to ping and just kind of see what's going on? I would defriend them, and I wouldn't go there, okay? And I would make sure that you've closed all doors, both physically and emotionally, and you're working on your marriage. And reiterate that to your spouse. Hey, I don't even know the answers here, but I'm committed to you. And I'm spending the rest of my life with you. And so it'd be great if we could figure this out. I know both of us would love to move to a better place, okay? And so which three of those are you? And begin to take ground in there, okay? So I was going to close with a verse, but do you have anything else? Okay, good. Hey, so some of you guys, I was just, for whatever reason, thought about this verse today. 2 Peter, verses 3 through 4, okay? 2 Peter 3:3-4. Yeah. Says this. His divine power, Christ's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them we might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption the world has caused by its evil desires. Okay, and so what Peter is saying is that Christ, if we have Christ in us, we are in Christ. If we have the Spirit of God, He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. The Spirit of God has given you and I everything we need. Everything we need to obey Him and love our spouse. And what's really crazy, this couple that we were talking about earlier, she shared her story with us at our kitchen table, and she starts dropping these phrases. And so Pam and I are like, oh, that means you read this book. And she was like, no. And I remember her writing it down. Is that a book I should read? And I was like, I thought you had, you know. And there was probably 3-4 times that happened. I was positive that she had read, you know, certain marriage books, and gotten these different concepts or ideas or things like that from them, and she hadn't, and she had God's Word. It's crazy. She's living in a foreign country with her Bible, and God just begins to restore her marriage. She has the Spirit of God, and it leads her to all truth for her life and godliness in Christ. All of it, right? All of it. It was crazy. I thought she was messing with me for a while, but she'd come to know all the truth that she needed to know because of the Spirit of God, right? And that God would also give us not only the answers, but even, this blows my mind, His divine nature. He gives us His divine nature. You know, sometimes I think I have an anger issue, right? I'm more coach pitch. Last night it's blazing hot, and the other team took the shaded dugout, man. And I just felt this anger like coming up in me, you know. And I'm like, man, I can't. You know, it's just hard. And I was smiling, and I was doing my best and praying. And God, I can't. People know I'm a pastor. I can't cuss at this coach, you know. And I'm trying just to be as spiritual as I can. But I was like, I just told Pam, I was like, this is hard. I mean, it's really hard for me to keep my cool right now, right? And I think sometimes, like, I will always have that. I'll always struggle with that. But yet, I've got the divine nature. And somehow, in some mysterious way, God is imparting His divine nature in me. Absolutely, I have it in me to work through any anger issues. You bet I do. You bet you do. Whatever it is. Guys, you know, you don't want to initiate. You don't want to lead. You don't want to serve. You don't want to sacrifice. Those are some descriptors of Christ. And you have His nature imparted in you. And you can do this, okay? Gals, that you would be kind, that you would be loving, that you would be supportive, that you would be able to respect a man and initiate with him even when he isn't what he should and could be. You can. You can, because you have the nature imparted to you of Christ. Okay? So, hey, really encourage, you guys are here tonight. Do you have any other thoughts? So, thanks for coming up. We'll pray for you guys here in 1 second. Hey, if you're a guest tonight, this is your very first time, we really want to welcome you and tell you we're glad that you're here. Kind of what happens each week in here is we'll either teach or we'll share a story. You'll hear some great stories each week of just couples who have walked a different path, sometimes really, a really, really difficult path, and God's put it back together. And this thing is driving me crazy. I'm sorry, guys. There's no clip back there. So each week we'll just kind of rotate, either a teaching or a testimony, so you get to hear that. And then from there, we go to small groups, and we break up. We'll break out in a second. People will rush out the doors, and they'll go to their small groups. But this is your very first week here. We'd ask that you guys would stay here. Come right up here, and you'll get to hear a great story from some friends of ours, the Coxes. And they'll share kind of their own marriage story, their own kind of journey through re-engage. And I think it'll be really encouraging to you, and then it'll help you kind of understand what re-engage is and help you decide if that's the next step you should take. Okay? So that is here. If you have been through newcomers and are not in a closed group, we've got open groups for you at rooms 211 and 212. Just kind of stick your head in there, figure out which group you want to go in. Whichever one seems to be more of a party, you can stick your head in there. Okay, hang out with those guys. If you're in a closed group, you should know what's going on there. And then the DeBose, Scott and Laura DeBose, are starting their group tonight. So if you don't know where they are or whatever, yeah, we can give it up for them. You're telling me something. I've got something. Oh, is there probably a wallet? I thought you were telling me to give out money, and I didn't know. So if this is your wallet here, I can find out who you are. But you probably know who you are, so you can come get that. Okay. Anything else? That's great. Let me pray for us, and then we can go to small groups. Okay. Father, I do thank you that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. Yeah, that blows my mind. Blows my mind, and that somehow you're imparting the nature of who you are into us, some really broken and wretched people. It's unbelievable, Father. And the problem isn't what you've done. It's that we are not walking, quite honestly, in ways that are just reflective of that. I don't, and I know my friends don't always as well. So we pray, Jesus, for your mercy on us tonight. Would you help us pursue oneness as a couple, and would you help us as friends encourage each other? And those of us that are new, I pray you give us clarity about next steps and ways we could move towards oneness with each other. So we love you. Thanks for this night and this time in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, we'll see you guys next week. Have a great night pursuing oneness. Thanks.